Well, we return this morning to the fifth chapter, 2 Corinthians, as we continue to make our way through this letter from the Apostle Paul to the Church of Corinth, the second letter that we have preserved by us, for us, by the Lord. And today we're going to be beginning to look at verses 18 through 21. Verses 18 through 21. This is God's word for us today. God's always on time. Beginning in verse 18, he says this, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I praise you, I worship you. Lord, thank you that we can call you Father. Those of us here that are in Christ, we can call you Father. We who are sinners, lowly creatures, can call the God of the universe Father, because you have made us your children through Christ. What an amazing truth this is. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to cause the reality of this, the love of Christ, to control us. To see what you have done in putting your Son to death and what Christ has done in submitting to you to accomplish this great work. This is love beyond our understanding. It is not natural. It is supernatural. And it is everything. And it will be forever. May this control us. How so? Well, you tell us today. I pray that this word of yours would go forth and bear fruit in the hearts of your people. I pray that, Lord, for the lost sinners here among us who do not know you, that perhaps by your grace would come today in power through this word, and you would cause them to hear for the first time, truly hear your voice calling them to Christ. Lord, you use me as an ambassador, pleading with men to please be reconciled to God. May you do this. Only you can. Cause dead men to live. God, I pray for us who are already reconciled. Speak to us and bear fruit. Help us to understand what our ministry is. May you cause us to be of one mind. May you cause us to maintain the same love, to be united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Lord, I pray you would do that by your word this morning and in the weeks to come. This is a work of you that only you can do, but you do it through your word. And so, Lord, I lay this down at your feet and say, pray, Lord, you do this work. Why? So you would be glorified, so Christ would be exalted, and that we would achieve the chief end for which you made us, that you would be glorified and we would enjoy you forever. Lord, teach us. Teach us as you stir up passions, right passions in us, Lord, to depend on you to bring out the fulfillment of those. How my brother spoke of, Lord, a man of integrity has to wait on you to provide what we need. Even good desires, desires that you put there, we have to wait on you to supply the means and every bit of it. Help us to do that and help this shape that, Lord. This is everything. It really is. This is what will be there forever and ever and ever. May we see it. May we learn from it. May we be controlled by it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, the church in large is inundated with, confronted with all kinds of ideas and suggestions as to what her ministry ought to be. And she's inundated by as many methods as to how it ought to be carried out, right? Some believe the church should be all about social change, social justice. Others believe that the church should be more involved in political change that would bring about more of a moral culture. Still others just really want only an upbeat positive message that would be non-threatening to the lost, that would change with the culture, right? There's just, again, the ideas, the suggestions are many. But I don't think a serious look at the Scriptures can allow that to happen. I think the Scriptures are actually very clear as to what the church's ministry and thereby extension each member's ministry ought to be. It's passages like today's that really help define and clarify that for us. Now, I hope you're well aware by now what we've been in for weeks. Apostle Paul, what's he been doing? Been defending his ministry. Been under attack. His integrity's been under attack, right? And he's defending it by giving the motive of his heart. This is why I do what I do. This is why I carry out my ministry the way I do. Please, I want to please God. I fear God. The love of Christ controls me. And I want everybody to be like Christ. These motives, just they're all one but separate, and they control everything he does. Now today, really what we see is Paul go from that into defining what his ministry is. And I don't think I see any confusion by Paul. He's very clear and he's assured, right? This is what his ministry is. It is this ministry of reconciliation. That word reconciliation is in our passage no less than 5 times. So it dominates this passage. Paul has a ministry of reconciliation, right? Which carries the idea of a once broken relationship being restored. So really, the ministry of reconciliation, so we're not confused right from the beginning, is really the ministry of the gospel. Because the gospel says that your sin-devastated relationship between you and God can be restored. And so Paul says, this is my ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. And I say, thereby extension, the entire church's ministry, and thereby the extension, every member's ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. So I say, this is a very important passage for us. Well, because if there's any confusion and not being able to understand what your ministry ought to be and how you ought to carry it out, this should help define it greatly. Every single one of us. It's me. It's helping define my ministry as I'm coming under the word of truth. And it's true for every member, no matter where you are in your walk, and no matter how you're gifted. This is the core, the crux. Ministry of reconciliation. So because I think we could benefit greatly from this passage, we could learn a lot. If we'll come under it, receive it, and just hear it. It's simple yet profound. So, how do we best learn from this passage the truths that Paul reveals, truths that the Holy Spirit reveals through Paul in this letter? Well, in hopes of that, what I've done is I've broken this passage down into four parts. Four parts. Today we'll get to part one. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know how long it will take us to get through this, but today, part one. Right? And that first part, I have labeled the initiator and provider of reconciliation. The initiator and provider of reconciliation. Verse 18 will be our text. It says again, now all these things are from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He starts, now all these things are from God. To understand what he means by all these things, we've got to think back, we've got to look back, refer back to where we left off last week, the very end of the sermon, very end of the message, that the verse is right immediately to that. And if you do, you'll see that Paul's referring to all these things that have to do with a man when he becomes a new creature in Christ. Right? Remember, Paul talks about if we're really in Christ, we're really converted, we become a brand new creature. Why? Because all these old things that we were before salvation pass away. The old desires, the old thoughts, the old actions, the old life, they pass away. And new things come. New hearts causes new thoughts and new desires, which then causes new actions, and we become a new man in Christ. Paul says all these things are from God. Which means God's the one that brings all these things about, right? You, old man, you do not do this in any way, shape, or form. All these things are from God. And isn't that true? Do you have the ability to change your heart? Absolutely. You don't have a bit more ability to change your heart and your desires, and therefore your actions, really, than a leopard has the ability to change his spots. It's impossible. Therefore, that's why all these things are from God. So if this happens, if you see this, old man, if it happens in you, and if it happens to anybody else around you, you know, even those that you might have had a hand into seeing come to Christ through your witnessing or whatever, just acknowledge all these things are not from you. All these things are from God. God alone. These are divine provision. Now, as Paul explains that all these things are from God, he then goes on to say, right, these things are from God, the same God who what? Reconciled us to Himself through Christ. Now, this middle of the verse, this part of the passage I just read, is full of truth. It's full. And so therefore, it deserves to be expounded on to some length. Now, I cannot exhaust it. And I don't intend to exhaust it in this sermon, right? But I do intend to exhaust and expound on some truths that are here, no less than three, that you can see. And the first is an assumed truth. First truth is this: man is in need of reconciliation. That's assumed in this a phrase that when he says God reconciled us to Himself through Christ. What's assumed is that man needs reconciling, right? If God went through the trouble of performing this work of reconciliation so that we could be reconciled to Him, then we needed this reconciliation. This reveals that we needed to be brought to a place of being at peace with God and made in friendly relation with Him again. And indeed, man is in need of reconciliation to God. Man is not at peace with God when they're in their sin. Man is not in a friendly relationship with God. Matter of fact, the scriptures say we're an enemy of God. More importantly, God's an enemy of us. Don't miss that. I think we miss that. We called it being at enmity with one another. Why? Because of our sin. Simple yet profound. Because of our sin, we are enemies of God when we're in our sin. Why? Because God is holy. We sang about that. Holy, holy, holy. So far removed from us, and so righteous is He because of His holiness, He hates sin. He cannot allow sin into His presence. And not only does He hate sin, He hates the one who commits the sin. Understand that. He doesn't just hate the sin and love the sinner. The sinner goes to hell, not to sin, as I've heard others say, like R.C. Sproul and others. Isn't that true? So because of sin, as Psalm 7:11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry. His disposition toward the sinner in their sin is anger. Therefore, man's not in a friendly relationship with God when he's in their sin. He's in a very dangerous, precarious situation. Why? Because God is angry with the wicked. Because he's angry with the sinner when they're in their sin. His wrath is upon them. What's that mean? This means that they are objects of his wrath. That means he scoped in, you know, the super high-powered scope on his hunting rifle. And he's got the target on their forehead. It's like wrath is right there, and all he's got to do is pull the trigger. When's that happen? When sinful man enters his presence, and wrath will break out and pour out upon the sinner. That's why Paul says that in Ephesians chapter 2, right, that before we're saved, who are we? Children of wrath. That's what he means by that. And he gives the markers of what it looks like to be a child of wrath. Well, you live according to the course of this world, because you're dead spiritually. You don't have any desire for spiritual things. You're just the world. That's what you live for. You live according to the counsel of Satan, prince of the power of the air, and not the counsel of God. And you have desires for the flesh. That's where you live. And so because of that, you're children of wrath. And what that means, again, God's wrath is upon you. In your sins, oh man, so to say that man is in need of reconciliation is quite the understatement. Really, man is utterly, utterly desperate to be reconciled to God. Without it, there's only wrath. It's only wrath. It's only wrath. So, yes, what's assumed here is man needed to be reconciled to God. Now, I have expounded on this one point for quite a bit because I think it's quite necessary, because I think there is a wrong perspective of God's disposition toward the sinner that is painted out there. And not just by the world, by much of evangelicalism. And we may find ourselves doing it, playing part in it, or thinking that way. I don't know. But it's this. God, the picture of God that we get with the sinner is more of an elderly grandfather who sits in heaven and looks with pity upon the sinner and feels sorry for them, and he's okay with their sin. He just wishes they would come back to him so that he can wrap his loving arms around them, tell them everything's okay. Now, there's partial truth in that picture. That's why it's so appealing, why it catches on. Satan's so clever. And it plays on the emotions, doesn't it? And it gives us a picture of God that we can paint to the world that they won't hate us for. But it's so dangerous, and if it's partial truth, it's not truth. And it's so dangerous because it gives the sinner the idea that God's okay with their sin. And that in the end, no matter what, when they meet God, it's going to be okay. He's going to overlook their sin because that's what he does. Nothing could be further from the truth. Man needs reconciliation with God because apart from that, wrath is the only end. God hates sin. Therefore, he's at enmity with God. That's a truth that is just assumed here by Paul. Now, that's the first one. What's the second one? The second one, it's explicitly stated. And that God is the one who has done this work of reconciliation. God who reconciled us to himself. We did not reconcile ourselves to God. Do you see that? We have no part in the work of reconciliation. Nor could we. This is important to understand too, because this is a great misunderstanding by man. Why? This is what happens. Deep down, most people know that they have offended God with their sin. And they feel the guilt and the shame of sin. And they know they're not right with God. And you always see, you know, you always hear, are you right with God? They know they're not right with God. Their sin has done something that separated them. They know this. Why they hide. That's why they do all kinds of things. So, man, this is where they make the mistake. They think, well, I've got to do something about it and reconcile myself to God. How do we do that? Well, we just start doing what God would want us to do, right? Just do what we think would please God. And the hopes is that we do enough that pleases God, that by the time we get there and meet Him face to face, it's going to be okay. Because look, God, I did the best I could. This is where man makes the mistake. But what's the problem with that? Why are you at enmity with God? Why is God at enmity with you? Your sin is all those things you did to please God going to do anything with your sin? I'm here to tell you no. Your sin's still there. Matter of fact, there's nothing you can do to atone for your sin. Well, what are you telling me? What I'm telling you, as far as you being reconciled to God, you are helpless in that matter. Helpless. You can do nothing in and of yourself to be reconciled to God. You can't be. You can't do anything because your sin is still there. So if you, oh man, are going to be reconciled to God, God's going to have to do it. Because you have no power, no ability to reconcile yourself to Him. No matter how hard you try. From this moment on, you do good and only good, you get to heaven to meet God. Sorry, your sin's still there. And sin must be judged by a holy God. Therefore, if reconciliation will be done, God must do it. But praise God, the whole point of this declaration that Paul has given us here is God has done it. God has done the work of reconciliation to bring man into a right relationship with Him. This is what Paul has said here, right? God has reconciled us to Himself. It's a past tense word. So it's an accomplished work. God alone could do it, but God alone did do it. And notice, it was His work from beginning to end, and it was initiated by Him. Man did not initiate this work. We like to think that if we could just seek God and come to Him and beg Him enough, and He'll have mercy on us. No one seeks after God. Know what? Not one. But God, amazingly, right, seeing the helplessness of man, seeing the sinfulness of man, seeing how much he deserves only wrath, still initiated this work. He moved toward us. He came to repair this breach that was made by sin. He did it all. Right? He left heaven, sent His Son, He left, and He came, and He did all this work. And man, the whole time, is not seeking after God, going, please help us. He's like, we don't want any of the sin. No, we love our sin more than we love God. That's why when Jesus came, His own rejected Him, because they loved the darkness more than they loved the light. God's the initiator of it, and He's the provider of every single bit of it. Man had nothing to do with it. And He came, and the whole time man didn't want Him, God is doing this work of reconciliation that he needs so desperately. And this is who God is. I want you to see that. God is a God who desires reconciliation with sinners. My God, your God, if you know Him, He loves to save sinners. He's not reluctant to do this at all. He actually desires to do it. Ever since Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, when Adam fell and sinned and went, ran and hid himself, God said, Adam, where are you? He began the pursuit of sinful man in order to reconcile him to Himself. God is a reconciler. Praise God. He desires to reconcile us, sinful man, with Himself. Because it's not in us, but it's in God. God is a Savior. He seeks to save the lost. And this is what He's done in this work of reconciliation that Paul is declaring here. God is a reconciler of sinful man. So, oh man, understand this. Reconciliation with God is nothing you can do. It's nothing you can accomplish. The only thing you can do is receive it. That's the call. The call is not for you to do anything. It's to hear and receive what God has done. It's a divine provision. Just like you being made alive, it's a divine provision from beginning to end. And so the call is always, as we'll get to the ministry, just receive it. God has done this. So you, in a call to respond to the gospel, You're not called to do a work that God's going to pay you back for by saving you. That's done. All you're called to do is to receive what's already done. Yes, God has reconciled me. I believe it. That's what it means to trust Christ. Now that kind of leads me to the third truth here. That's the means of reconciliation is Christ, right? Do you see that? God reconciled us to Himself. How? Through Christ. Again, through gives you the word. This is the means by which it's done. Jesus is the means or the mediator of reconciliation. Now, this itself deserves much expounding. And I'm not going to be doing it in this sermon. This will be in a latter sermon on a latter Sunday in this passage. But let me simplify it for us, right, to get us to the point. Jesus, how is He the means of reconciliation between God and man? It's through His work on the cross, right? Jesus, through His work on the cross, was a work that would enable atonement for sin to occur and therefore reconciliation between God and man to happen. Remember the problem? The problem's always sin. Sin has to be dealt with. Christ is the means by which sin was dealt with, and therefore He's the means through which reconciliation with God occurs. Doesn't occur through us. Remember, we can't do anything about our sin. Jesus is the only one that can. He did it. Scripture's full of this. Let me just give you one place. It's just explicit. Be patient with me. Ephesians 2:13-16. Paul's speaking about reconciliation, and he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you got to be in Jesus. You who formerly were far off, he's talking about the Gentiles here, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. Who? Jesus. Remember, we need peace with God. Who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two into one new man. Who? Two. Jews and Gentiles. Thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death enmity. Did you hear that? Now, this passage has mainly to do with reconciliation between Jew and Gentile. You understand that. Paul's really hammering on that. Jews and Gentiles are reconciled through the work of Jesus. The side note, racial reconciliation only happens through the work of Jesus, the gospel. That's the only way it happens. Reconciliation between man and man happens through Jesus. That's why it's always a gospel issue when there is an issue between man and man. It's always. It's Jesus. But the point to the passage is that last sentence. Did you hear it? God reconciled them both, or Jesus did, who? Jew and Gentile. Once they're reconciled together, He reconciled them both in one body. What body? Jesus. And He reconciled them to God the Father through the cross, because the cross is the means by which He put to death the enmity, which is sin. So you see, Jesus is the means to reconciliation. It has to be by Jesus. Therefore, you can say Jesus is the only means of reconciliation between God and man. If you're going to be reconciled to God, it has to be through Jesus Christ. This is important as well, because there's another very popular message that says we're all worshiping the same God. And we're all, no matter what path you're on, we're all going to get there in the end, right? There's all these paths to God. It's a big mountain. He's at the top. And when we all get there, we're going to be at the same place. That's not only false, it's impossible. And you know why it's impossible? Because all these other paths have no means to reconcile sin. There's no means for sin to be removed. If sin is not removed, there can be no reconciliation. Therefore, Jesus could confidently say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through Me. It literally is through Him and His body as He put it upon the cross as a willing sacrifice. That's it. So, there you have the truth that reconciliation is through Christ. He's the means. You, oh man, have not. You're not the means. You're not the accomplisher of it, the initiator of it. All you can do is be the helpless recipient of it. Praise God. Now, that brings me to the last part of the verse, right? It says there, as Paul declared, God reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he said, then he did, and he did what? He gave us something. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, who's the us? Very specifically, I do believe in the context, Paul is talking very specifically about he and the other apostles. And not just big A apostles, but little A apostles like Timothy and Titus and all those who worked in that ministry of reconciliation with the Gentiles. You know how scandalous it was for the Jew to say that Gentiles were brought to God? So he's saying he gave us this ministry of reconciliation, but what is this ministry? It's the gospel. I want you to know very clearly the good news. See, that's the good news, isn't it? Look, man, the bad news is your sin has caused you to be in enmity with God. You're not at peace. You're an object of his wrath. Right? And there's nothing you can do about it, oh man. This is what you deserve, and there's not a thing you can do about it. But the good news is God has done something about it. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. Good news, good news. This is the ministry of reconciliation that was given to Paul. And therefore, this is the ministry of reconciliation that was given to Paul, the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, by extension, this is the same ministry that's been given to the church throughout the ages, the same ministry that's been given to all its ordained ministers throughout the ages, and by extension, every believer. This is your ministry. What am I being called to do? You're being called to be a minister of reconciliation. And there'll be much more said about what that is to come, but not today. But understand, simply put, it's to be a minister, a proclaimer of this message of reconciliation that God gives to the world. Be reconciled to God. I've done the work. And this is your ministry, O believer. John MacArthur said this is nothing different than the Great Commission. And every proclamation every declaration to proclaim the gospel anywhere in Scripture, this is equal to it. That's what the ministry of... So this is your ministry. You know how that looks and what that looks like, God will determine. But this is it. And it begins right where you're at. Right? Who's not reconciled to God? In my sight, this is where you begin to exercise and carry out your ministry. This is the ministry of the church. Therefore, it's the ministry of every believer. So, I'll close by asking two simple questions. First, if you are a believer, how are you doing with your ministry? How faithful are you to carry out this simple but profound ministry to call those who have not been reconciled to God to be reconciled to God as you have been? You understand that? That's you've been reconciled to God, oh man, if you're his. God did this. And he's reconciled you and then called you and gave you the same ministry to go and call others to be reconciled just as you have been. Again, all these things are from God. You don't feel the weight of accomplishing salvation. You can't. God does it all, but he's given you the simple ministry of being a reconciler. So how you doing? My prayer is that we would all begin to see this more clearly in our own lives. Really, again, I'm learning myself, and that it would be a ministry that we would do because we're controlled by the love of Christ, just like Paul did. See, we can hear this and go, oh, the task. Oh, God's going to be upset with me. Oh, no. God loved you so much. Christ loved you so much that he gave everything. He took the wrath in your place. Remember all this wrath, enmity with God? Jesus actually took that out of love. And once you begin, again, remember last week, you meditate on this long enough, it'll overwhelm you. And this is how it will overwhelm you. It will cause you to go, oh, they need Jesus, Lord, the love. They need, Jesus needs to be worshipped and honored and glorified by lost man because he deserves it. And, oh, yes, by the way, they're going to hell if they don't, which should be compassion in us as well. But you see what should be supreme desire? When the love of Christ overtakes us, this will naturally flow out of us. He gave us this ministry of reconciliation. So, how are we doing? Again, we'll talk more about this. Second question is to the unbeliever here today and to the sound of my voice, whoever may be hearing it, wherever this media goes out. And the question is this: will you be reconciled to God today? I mean, if you're not in Christ, understand this. You're in your sin. And if you're in your sin, God's anger is toward you and your sin. And His wrath. You're an object of that wrath. And you step into eternity in your present state, wrath will be your end. But the good news is, praise God, He has made a way for you. God has done the work of reconciliation for you already. You don't have to do anything. You can't do anything. He has reconciled you by pouring out His wrath on Christ instead of you on the cross. And by that, He satisfied His wrath, right? And now He can have the disposition towards you of love rather than wrath. And you can be in a friendly relationship restored forever. But the call to you, oh man, is will you be reconciled to God by repenting from your sin? Turn away from that very thing that separated you from God. Change your mind, right, about what you need to go after and what you need to be living for. Change your mind about your need for Jesus, because obviously you don't see it yet. And trust what Jesus has already done for you. Again, you are not doing a work in which God is obliged to save you. You are simply trusting in the work that God has already done through Christ on the cross. And so the question is, will you be reconciled to God? Will you trust Him even now? As we'll see, just a few verses, Paul says, after this call to be reconciled, he says, don't harden your heart. Today's the day of your salvation. Why? Because the word's near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your ears. It's here. Don't harden your heart. Trust in Christ and be saved. This is His promise to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You do what only You can do. Lord, the word of truth, send it out, cause it to be heard with faith. Faith is a gift. And I pray You work that out, Lord, to call people to Yourself to simply repent and believe in what You have done. You have reconciled sinful man to Yourself through Christ. Oh, give faith. Jesus is worthy of all men to bow before Him and praise Him now as their Savior. And to receive the praise forever for what He has done. Will You not bring more? Will You not go get His and bring glory to Your Son? Oh, I pray You do that, Lord. And have mercy on the sinner. That's You're a saving God. You seek and save sinners. This is who You are. I praise You for that. Will You do that work? And I do pray, Lord, for us who have been saved, been reconciled, help us to see the amazement of it, the glory of it. And then let us turn and be overwhelmed and go out and declare this message. Call men to be reconciled to You. We can't do the work, never could, but You did it. So may we see the simple yet profound eternal task You have given us to be Your ambassadors. Oh, Father, help us and equip us. We can't do this on our own. There's nothing we can really do on our own. We need You. So may You, by the Spirit that indwells us, empower us and show us the way. Help us not to get ahead of You. This should be our desire. You stirred up in us. Then show us the way, Lord. Show us where. And I think if that's our honest prayer, like where and how, like You'll show us. It's just right in front of us. It's where we are. Show us. Equip us. And You, through that, glorify Your name, Lord. Unite us in one heart, one mind, one purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.